And this is Cincinnati Edition. On 91.7 WVXU, I'm Michael Muggs. E-books are often costly for local libraries to offer their patrons. And now, a publisher is putting embargoes on the number of copies purchased within a release window, along with other similar limitations. As WVXU previously reported, new ebook usage rules by some publishers now include eliminating perpetual access, meaning libraries may have to repurchase digital materials on an annual or biannual basis, or limit the number of copies a library can purchase. Libraries argue this makes it difficult to serve their patrons' needs, but publishers push back, saying they are struggling from the wide availability and ease of access to their products via ebook offerings. Cincinnati Public Library and the American Library Association are fighting a recent enactment of such restrictions by publisher Macmillan. And joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the issue are Cincinnati Public Library Director Paula Bream Heeger. Welcome, Paula. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And joining us on the phone now is Senior Director of Public Policy and Government Relations for the American Library Association, Alan Inouye. Alan, thanks so much for being with us as well.
Thank you for the invitation.
And Cincinnati Edition did invite Macmillan to join our show today. The publisher instead issued a statement. The full statement is at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. I want to read part of it here. This is actually part of a letter that Macmillan sent to libraries, and this is just part of that letter. Quote, "We believe the very rapid increase in the reading of borrowed ebooks decreases the perceived economic value of a book. I know that you pay us for these ebooks, but to the reader, they are free. In the pre-digital world, reading for free from libraries was part of the business model. To borrow a book in those days required transportation, returning the book, and paying those pesky fines when you forgot to get them back on time. In today's digital world, there is no such friction in the market as the development of apps and extensions continues, and as libraries extend their reach statewide as well as nationally, it is becoming ever easier to borrow rather than buy. This is causing book-buying customers to change habits, and they are fueling the tremendous growth in ebook lending." That's part of the statement from Macmillan Publishers. You can read the whole thing at WVXU.org. Alan, I want to start with you. Does the publisher make a point with that concern?
I think we've pushed back pretty hard on some of these statements from Macmillan in terms of how different the digital age is with the print age, and that there is still quite a bit of friction in the system for ebooks. If you ever try to borrow an ebook, a bestseller ebook from your library, you'll often find holds, or that is you have to wait for weeks because there are many other people who want that that book as well. So friction has not gone away at all, really.
Okay, so it sounds like what they're saying is that the demand is so high and that the publisher is not being properly compensated. It seems to be the message there, is that you're going to need to pay more in order to keep this service going. Is that your sense, Alan?
That's what Macmillan may be suggesting, but libraries pay a lot of money for ebooks. And so a consumer might buy an ebook for like $12.99, and you have it for the rest of your life, access to it. But for a library, from Macmillan, you would pay $60 for one copy of an ebook. That is, you can lend it out one at a time, and it only lasts for 2 years, at which time the library would have to pay $60 again. So libraries are paying like a lot of money for that ebook.
Alan Inouye is the Senior Director of Public Policy and Government Relations for the American Library Association. And Alan, I read that you met with the CEO of Macmillan just a couple of days before these proposed changes. That was back on October 30th. What can you tell us about how that meeting went?
Well, it was, I'm trying to think, it was pretty interesting. That was the occasion when we delivered our petition, which had more than, at that time, 160,000 signatures from around the country of people who went online to formally protest this Macmillan embargo policy. And so we did talk about the situation. We've had many meetings with Macmillan, so in some ways it wasn't anything really new. They pretty much had made a decision about going ahead with this embargo. There wasn't really anything new.
Paula Bream Heeger is the director of the Cincinnati Public Library. Paula, help us understand the significance of this policy change from the perspective of our local library. How important is ebook distribution here?
Well, I'll make a couple of quick points. Alan has kind of given an overview, and that's really good to know on a higher level. But locally, it is important to remember that these are our tax dollars going to these higher prices. As Alan noted, the prices for ebooks are quite a friction already for us. We purchase the great example for everybody to kind of get a little more context is Michelle Obama's book. We purchased to try to fulfill holds for about 160 folks, and that was $55 per copy of ebook. If you bought that as a library in print, it was about $18. Doubly, when they have metered access, is the way that people are accessing these through the library, which, as you noted, they expire after 2 years. We may have to repurchase that entire set if there's still a lot of attention, and there may be around a book of that nature. So it might be $8,500 that we purchased the first time, and in 2 years, we may have to spend another, maybe not $8,500, but $5,000 because all of those books go away. Additionally, Macmillan's version of a business model, in this particular instance, the embargo you noted, they do allow every library in the country, every public library, to buy one copy of their new titles during that 8-week embargo period. So it's Hamilton County, you know, we have 800,000 people here. We have hundreds of thousands of active cardholders. We get one copy. A small town in Kansas, maybe they have 300 people use their library. They also get one copy. So I think this is a great illustration of how Macmillan, their point aside, they haven't given very much thought to the equity of their business model. There are many other models that we could discuss with them, but they're holding fast to this one particular model. And if this was the only version of the world the publishers were experiencing, we wouldn't hear different things from different publishers. You know, Penguin Random House, they're saying, this is not the model we're going to go with. We believe that libraries are a really important part of the reading ecosystem and that they want to have access to their material anywhere they can, whenever they can. So, you know, it's a problematic answer from Macmillan about why they're doing it. And there may be other ways that we could work with them, but they don't seem interested at this point, and we don't want other publishers to go down this route. They're not the only ones. Amazon, which is currently becoming larger and larger player in publishing material, libraries can't access any of their content. So again, Macmillan is not alone. They just are providing a great way to talk about this so people begin to understand what we're facing.
Okay, I want to go back to the example that you gave, Paula, about the Michelle Obama book. So this was a big bestseller, right? You only had one digital copy of it?
No, but in the new world, those are the kinds of things we would face. At the time, we were able to buy them. But
okay, but it was like how much per copy?
$55 per copy.
For the digital version?
Expires after 2 years.
And why does it cost so much for a library to do that? Is it because of the number of people who will be using it at the same time?
They are one copy, one use. It is simply the publisher's attempt to put some friction between our purchase and the fact that we can lend it out again and again and again. And I think the thinking is, in the print world, books would wear out. I don't know that they would wear out after 2 years. We certainly have books that have been heavily used that have been around longer than 2 years. But all of the books, many of the books we're talking about, I shouldn't say all, there are so many models, but the vast majority of the hot books that are ebooks are one person, one use, and the model of perpetual access, which you noted, that is becoming, unfortunately, less the common option. Publishers going with this metered access. You buy it once, it's more expensive, you only get it for 2 years, and you have to buy it again.
So this isn't like sharing your Netflix password with a circle of friends then. I mean, you can't all be watching programs over the course of the week. It's one at a time.
That's right. That's right. And we have been done our best to understand that publishing, like libraries, are moving into different directions. But libraries have really worked so hard to innovate and become a part of the ecosystems that exist and embrace new technologies. And this is a really a punitive way to hold on to an old model. And we're interested in talking about different models. As I've gone around and talked about this, people have asked, what about bundling? What about things that other industries have done? What about, you know, you buy the hot copy and then you buy two or three other mid-list titles at a slightly reduced rate to try and get exposure to those authors? I mean, those are all things that I think libraries would be interested in. We're not unsympathetic to the changing business needs, but this one copy per library, no matter how large your system, that's just not realistic. And, you know, our folks here in Hamilton County know that. I think to put a little bit more of a local twist on it, this summer the library went out. We did a lot of engagement sessions. And if you're from Hamilton County, you know that we have a the west side of Hamilton County doesn't have quite the concentration of public facilities for public libraries that the central or the east side might have. So over there, we heard so much. Miami Township, Harrison, Green Township, people use our virtual presence as another version of the library. They're very interested in. We have a lot of older people in Miami Township. They can't drive here or there to pick things up. They love ebooks and they love the ability to access them. And it's also important to remember ebooks allow people with visual impairments to read in a more effective way for them. So again, it's not just this one issue, one argument. It's a very complicated issue and we need to have a more robust discussion about it.
Alan Inouye is the Senior Director of Public Policy and Government Relations for the American Library Association. He's on the phone with us. Alan, we heard our local library director, Paula Bream Heeger, talking about her feelings on this issue as Cincinnati Public is the third largest system in the country and notes that it has over 1.5 million digital circulation. Do these proposed changes or forthcoming changes, Alan, impact large metropolitan systems harder than others?
Yes, absolutely. So first, I just want to say that in addition to Cincinnati, we've heard from, I don't know how many different library systems across the country, and there have been articles and op-eds and so on from Seattle and King County to Portland, Oregon, to Columbus, Ohio, to Cuyahoga County, to Broward County in Florida. You name it, and there's like all over the country. The reaction has been the same as what you've just heard from Cincinnati, the Cincinnati area. So there is this wide pushback, that this policy is just wrong. It won't work for libraries. It really impairs libraries' ability to serve their communities.
And Alan, what about the response from smaller systems? Are they supportive of their larger colleagues?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because in John Sargent's letter, it suggests that the very small systems benefit from this policy. And so, in fact, if you only bought one ebook for your library, then, in fact, you could, because you can buy the one copy, and it would be cheaper than it was before. You would save $30. So for that set of libraries, it is actually better. But I haven't really heard that from those small libraries. And also, my colleagues say that even for a small library, if they're obtaining ebooks for lending, that it's not very common to buy just one copy, that even a small library, you would need several copies. And so just haven't heard that kind of support even from the smaller libraries.
And I just wanted to add also that here in Ohio, where we have a very active public library community, small and large, I was at several meetings in the past month as we approached this deadline of November 1st for Macmillan. And it's important to remember that small libraries often have to buy in consortium because they can't actually afford to buy these high-priced materials. So they have an entire consortium of maybe 6, 8, 12 libraries, and they all share, as you noted, that one copy, that one access to that one copy. So in many ways, their consortium is acting like a mid or a large-sized library system. So even though there may be some independents that could afford it, many, particularly from our rural communities here, have to already purchase in tandem because that $55, that $60, and that's just ebooks, never mind audiobooks that are also quite expensive, e-audiobooks, they had to purchase like a large library and have one access to one copy. So it's quite complicated.
That's Paula Bream Heeger. She's the director of the Cincinnati Public Library. Paula, in an ideal world, what happens here? What would benefit your library? What do you want to see happen?
Well, gosh, I would love to have the ability to buy a reasonably priced ebook copy that would have perpetual access. In an ideal world, that would be great. We would have some kind of translation from the print world into the ebook world. But I'm also sympathetic and understand that the publishers are trying to adjust and find a way that they can move forward because we do support authors and we think authors and artists and should be properly compensated for the amazing work they do. But I would love to have a dialogue. I'd love to talk about this. I'd love to find some publisher of e-material that's willing to try some other model. As I mentioned, the idea of maybe it's not this embargo, maybe it's a proportional to your population. I mean, access is what we're all about. And here in Hamilton County, the Cincinnati Enquirer just ran a big article on Sunday about our poverty issue. So just to put this back at to the higher level, you know, we believe in reading and access and that people should have the right to read and to choose what they want to read in a reasonable fashion. Our poverty issue here in Hamilton County, I think that I read 25% of the folks in the city of Cincinnati, at least, live in poverty. Now, if you need to buy a book at $14.99 or get your car fixed, you know, that's a choice that we don't want people to have to face. They should be able to read and try to be self-sufficient and try to move forward out of these situations. And so, again, I would urge everyone to sort of take a look at this at this larger level. Reading is really important. When we train the next generation of workforce, we want them to be people who enjoy discovery and reading and feel the ability to do that without $14, $15 every time they want to buy a book. That's great, but it doesn't have to be the only way to access your material. Public libraries have been amazingly successful for many, many decades here in town for a reason. And this point of access is just really important to us.
Alan Inouye, your organization, the American Library Association, has noted that so far Macmillan is the only one of the, quote, big five publishers to pursue this particular change. Is there concern that other publishers will follow suit?
Yes, we are quite concerned about that. And so that's another reason why it's important to make our, you know, for libraries and librarians and for the general public to make their feelings known, so that this does not become a new standard in the trade book industry.
And Alan, what are you hearing from those other publishing houses?
Well, Paula mentioned one pushback or observation from Penguin Random House. In fact, it was published in the Washington Post Book World about a month ago, that they have a divergent view of the role of libraries, and that they believe that books should be available to readers no matter what the format, no matter what the location. And so we've, in addition to talking to Macmillan, we have been having meetings with the other publishers as well, as we do on an ongoing basis. And the feedback from them is rather different. We do not expect them to be going down this path.
Paula, we saw that opposition to this appears to be strong from the public. I assume it wasn't all librarians who made up the more than 100,000 signatures on a petition asking Macmillan to reverse its course. What does that tell you?
Well, that's a great point, and I should note that both our own Mayor Cranley and our own Hamilton County Commissioner Denise Driehaus have both signed the Urban Libraries Council statement on equitable access to e-books. So what it tells me is that people get it, that reading and access to e-material is really essential. If we want to, in a city like Cincinnati, in a region like Hamilton County, if we want to get to the next level and be a driving force for new technologies and really have a fully employed workforce and be able to drive those kinds of innovations, changes, it starts with reading. And it starts with the fact that our leaders here in town understand that, and leaders across particularly urban areas, because this is such an onerous thing for people who serve large populations. They really get it. That statement has, you know, more than 50 leaders from these larger regions have signed on and said, yeah, I get it. I understand. This is not acceptable.
Paula Bream-Heger is the director of the Cincinnati Public Library, and Alan Inouye, who's joined us on the phone, is the senior director of public policy and government relations for the American Library Association. Thanks to both of you for being here today. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org, and that's where you'll have to find us the rest of the week. We're off Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday so that 91.7 WVXU can bring NPR's coverage of the impeachment hearings. I'm Michael Monks.